So, Echo, did you want to?
Yeah, I wanted to continue what Bibi had said before the break.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the stories and the artist. So one of the things you were talking about, the good practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if some of you have seen the feature length documentary about Anne Halperin, right? So, you know, as a film, it may not have been the best film in the world, right? There's shortcomings and all. But as someone who, you know, 150 years from now or even like now, who is interested about her work, all the linking actually happens in a film, right? And you can kind of clearly, I mean, from her childhood to this thing, and then all the things, people that she was hanging around with, and then their recollections and, you know, anecdote to the photos. And I thought it really was one good way. You know, maybe it should be a feature-length documentary about David Gordon and Ayn Gordon and Susan Marshall. You know, it really would be a wonderful way to kind of grasp what artist allows the normal people to see, you know, and that out of which, of course, certain people are more researchers, but that's very small portion of the human beings. Can I just continue one more thing, which is you also asked what we actually liked, right? And when I see that the archive of our work, I get depressed, so I usually don't look at it. The only time I get actually interested in looking at it is when actually I have the audience right by, like when we perform in a gallery. So then the audience, you know, you're shooting me, but you're shooting me together with someone who's looking at me. So then you can kind of start to understand, or at least I do, I can imagine myself. There's a kind of energy going on, and I've always felt what's problem with a video is it only takes less than half of what happened in that evening, because there's like, you know, but we as performer, again, I'm speaking about more performance-oriented people rather than the choreography who makes the piece. I find it much more satisfactory. Another totally different route is also really to take the video as a visual artwork, so where we have a total control, we take a really long time really to come up with what I call media dance or camera for dance, which has been around, you know, from the 70s. And I did that, and it's kind of interesting to remember I could only do that when there was a funding available.
Mm-hmm.
So, because that takes a lot of time. But I, to this day, I find it satisfactory, so that when some of my students says, oh, I want to show you your video to my grandma, that's where I resort to, because then the nuance gets a little more deliberate, because it is taking time. And then the linking about what David said, I realized that, I can do this in the web. So I have a very extensive web. We did it as a part of the retrospective project. So as also, it's like almost unconscious way, I did not only the videos, but I had interviewed with my choreographer, collaborators, I had my son's interview there, probably pretty soon what David had said will come up, I haven't done that yet. So sometimes artists can take initiative to actually reveal the, both the friendship and the influences. I may not be able to put James Torero's artwork in my web, but I can mention his name, and therefore, you know, it's easy for people to. So, some of things I just realized I can do that ourselves, which is kind of nice to do. Okay.
It's like making a playlist.
Yeah, our own kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm. One of the things that the previous conversation triggered for me is that thinking about the sort of how I'm archiving or thinking about archiving the current project is that it's totally me, because it's totally scattershot, it's totally slipshod, totally accidental, and totally low-tech.
Mm-hmm.
It's like right now it's mainly iPhones and Facebook, like, you know, because like all the kids have iPhones, so they're constantly photographing, so there are like hundreds of photographs of the rehearsal process now, and they're all being posted on Facebook, which is actually, I hadn't thought of that as archive, but it actually is like a record of a process, which is, and since my work is so process-based, it's like really interesting to get that perspective. And also videotapes of the conversations we're having about Gilbert and George and Nan Golden and novels and Muybridge photographs and news items from 1985 are all really important in the mix there. So it's like, you know, it's like, it is a different, it's a shift in how one thinks about archiving a thing.
You know, where I sometimes know young people, sometimes young people die, and their Facebook becomes their place, memorial. You know, and there's certain rules, I think you can either keep it on or not. I mean, I'm not familiar with that, but it occurs to me, your blog, as you said, will become very important, you know, thing, not only for now of your communication, but the way you have put your time into.
Yeah.
And then the web, too. I mean, I'm putting tons of time myself. And, you know, I don't know how long I can keep paying it, so maybe it will die at some point, and what happens to that web?
Yeah, that's the issue, that there's a lot of working groups kind of trying to figure out how to preserve the stuff that is submitted to the web, because it does need to be maintained, and, you know, websites are built on technologies that no longer exist, like IC, whatever, the CUCME, yeah, things like that. But right, I mean, I think those are all good points.
Not necessarily the way how the web functions,
right.
Like what content, you know,
right. Yeah,
especially the artist-driven.
Yeah, right. Yeah.